Well, today is a great day in the life of our church. In just a few moments, we're going to witness 59 adults who are becoming members of our church today. And it's only appropriate that we take a few minutes to look closely at the body of Christ and celebrate our place in it. Here we grow again. After 32 years, to have 59 newcomers stand with us and as a testimony say, I am born again by my faith in Jesus, and I believe God has planted me in this local church for this season of my life. Here we grow again. Welcome to Abundant Life. I want to begin with a couple of verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. There is such diversity in the body. Do you know that, and I'm grateful for this, nobody else here looks exactly like me. I'm different. You're different. I do not have your specific gift, and I cannot function in the body like you do and make it look so easy. I have my gift. You have your gift. And all together, God has put us where he wanted us. And we are children of God and then brothers and sisters to each other. The Bible says, many members, but one body, and we all belong to each other. Members, one of another. Now, we are all important to God, and we're all important to one another. Today, we're celebrating that. How that each individual member, I'm one, you're one, has something special to offer. When God saved us and brought us into the kingdom of God, we became a member on the day of our new birth, a member of the body of Christ. And he had a purpose in mind. He was well aware of what our gift would be and what our purpose would be before he called us and brought us in. And we're important to God. Are your children important to you? Well, some of you sounded a little iffy. Well, mine are to me. And if our children are important to us, don't you think God's children are important to him? But it doesn't stop there. Today we celebrate each of us having a special place and a special purpose in the body. And the fact that we are also important to one another. Now, the moment we place our faith in Christ, the new birth, we become his children and we become part of a spiritual family. Now, in families these days, white families are not as white as they used to be. Black families are not as black as they used to be. You've known all along I'm a black man. I've told you that. I've got the rhythm of a black man. When nobody's watching, I dance like a black man. But families today, including my family, and many of yours, are blended. And our spiritual family, our local church, is the perfect blend of everybody God has decided to send to us as a church family. There have been people during these past 32 years as a local church, members of our church, members of our spiritual family, who had no natural family of their own. One was a man named Don Morrell. He's been in heaven now for about 10 years. This man lived in poverty all of his life. This man was blind and lived alone. He never married, never had siblings or children, and all of his life was the town drunk. If you've lived in Florence for many years, you remember Don Morrell was the town drunk. He was drunk every day, 24/7, for more than 30 years. Our church was on House Springs Road. He lived in a mobile home park across the street, and he would walk to our church drunk. God love him. Some of you today may be a little tipsy. Then I'll tell you. This is the place you ought to be. Don Morrell had no family, and he was drawn to our church. He would walk to church. He was run over by a car one time and came on into the church anyway and pulled up his pants leg and showed me the tire marks. He said, "I just got run over." He was drunk. But that man, we welcomed him. We did not look down our noses at him. Hey, look, this is really a no judgment zone around here. We don't expect you to be perfect. We will welcome you with all of your flaws. None of us would have any hope if God didn't do that for all of us. So Don Morrell kept coming to church, and our people let him sit on the row with them, and they loved him. It wasn't legislated. It wasn't a mandated thing. It was just the organic love of God. And he knew he was accepted and loved. He came for quite some time, and then one day, his faith in the Lord Jesus kicked in and took him to a higher level. He stopped drinking, and for the last 12 or 15 years of his life, never touched another drop after being the Otis Campbell of Florence for 30 years. And some of you young people are Googling Otis Campbell. Don Morrell, no family but us. I've never said this before publicly about him. It is a holy thing and a sacred thing, but Don Morrell, as poor as he was all of his life, when he died and was buried, one of his friends who lived in the mobile home park with him was the executor of his estate, and he called us a few weeks after Don's death and said, "Y'all may not know this, but Don left everything he owned, such as it was, to the church." And the executor of his estate came and brought by a check for $4,000 after they sold his old rundown mobile home and settled all of his affairs. $4,000. And, you know, what a blessing his legacy is to us. Some of you here right now have no family but us, your spiritual family. Another one that comes to mind was John Robinson. He's the oldest member we've ever had. He died maybe 4 or 5 years ago at the age of 94, I believe. And he had never had any children. His wife had died a few years earlier. John had only us as his family. As he got older in years and still determined to drive, he would drive to church. We'd have to pull him out the ditch more than once. One morning before sunrise, I got a call at home, and they said, "Are you Carl Morris?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, one of your members is with us." He said, "I'm over the airport security here at the Florence Airport, and I noticed an elderly gentleman just came in early, and he's been sitting, and I went up and asked him if I could help him. He said, 'No, I've decided I'm just going to live out here for a while.'" And the security officer said to me, "He did give me your name and told me you were his pastor, and I wanted to call to see if you could come out here and help us with him. He's confused and disoriented. He's a sweet man, but elderly, and we're concerned about him." I said, "I'll be right there." So I quickly dressed, went to the airport, and walked in, and there was John Robinson, age 92 or 3 at that time. He had driven himself out there and was disoriented. And I thanked the security officer for calling me. He had no family, no family but us. And many of you were brothers and sisters in a very real way to him, without any natural family in the world. And so I knew that day would be the last day John would be able to drive. I knew his life would change. He could no longer live alone. So I asked him, "John, I think it would be good if you let me take you in my car and drop you off at the emergency room just to let them check your vital signs, your heart rate, your blood pressure. That would probably, don't you think that would be good?" He said, "Well, okay." And I knew as I drove him there, his life would change when he left there. And bottom line, he stayed there for a week, and a case worker with DSS got involved and assessed his situation, realized he needed to be placed in a home. They worked all that out, then the day he was released from the hospital to go to a nursing home to spend the rest of his days, I helped him. Pastor Steve helped him. Some of you helped him during those days. We helped him get settled in his room for life. Then we took him food every few days. He wouldn't eat their food. So he stayed there, I guess, 3 years maybe before he went home to be with the Lord. But no wife left, no siblings, no children ever, and we were his spiritual family. And listen, you may have a natural family. If so, they probably look a lot like our collective gathering today. But even if you do have a natural family, you also have a spiritual family. It is the body of Christ, and here it is the local church that God has sent you to. Now, when you're born again and your faith is in Jesus, you are not only called to believe, but you're also called to belong. God wants his children to be together. Together. Say the word, together. Say it out loud.
Together.
Listen to what the Bible says. That we are put together. We are joined together. We are built together. We are members together. We are heirs together. We are fitted together. We are knitted together, and we are held together, and that the last day we will be caught up together. Forget not the assembling of yourselves together, which is ever increasingly more important as we head toward the last days. The Bible says in one translation, God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. There are 300,000 churches in the United States, and God has brought you here. It was by design, by intention, and on purpose that God has led you geographically to this part of the world, this part of the country, to this city or this community, and to this local church. God was in it all. He places and plants each member exactly where he wants it. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You're a perfect fit. You belong. How sad it is, and I know people who stumble and stagger through life all of their life and never know a sense of belonging, don't know where they belong, think they don't fit in anywhere. Hello, this is the church. You belong, and you fit perfectly together with every other member here. The Bible says, as each part does its own work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Three things about the local church, which is the body of Christ. There is a diversity of gifts. I don't have every gift. I just have a few. You don't have every gift. You just have a few God gave you. That's why togetherness is so important for health and growth, because we need each other. Each of us brings something God gave us to offer to the body of Christ. So many different gifts. There is a diversity of gifts. Secondly, there is unity in the body. You know, I'm grateful for that here. Now, we're like every other family. Sometimes we, you know, have challenges that are family business. Not all of us get along with everybody all the time, just like your family. You know, I never have yet told my daughters and grandchildren, I'm calling a family meeting, but you know. Some of you may have done that, and I may still yet, but how grateful we are that not only is there a diversity of gifts, so many different gifts, different kinds of gifts, such diversity, no two alike, but in the middle of such great diversity, there is unity in the body, and that pleases the Lord. And then thirdly, there is maturity in the believer. You know, if you've been on this journey long at all, some of you are just starting out, some of you newly born again, the things of the Spirit are fresh to you and in a real way, and you may not understand this. Others of you who've been on this journey for quite some time, like I have, now that doesn't mean I've reached perfection. I'm not. I will be perfect the same time you will be. And that's when we get to heaven. But on this earthly journey, the longer we're on it, the stronger our maturity really is. Still short of perfection, don't misunderstand. I'm not judging you, don't you be. Remember in the early years of my spiritual development, what I thought was faith a lot of time was really fear. I would say the right things, but it wasn't because of faith as much as it was I was afraid not to. And fear is still an enemy. And we battle and we maintain victory over it much better as a family, as a body together. We're all in this together. The maturity of the believer. The journey gets sweeter every year and every day. I walk it. And I'm old enough now to be able to look back and say, there is such a thing as maturity. I don't see it just only in my life in a very small way, but I see it in your lives, many, many of you, how that by being a part of the body, having an understanding of your importance, your value to God and your value to us, we're members one of another, how that has brought maturity to our body. Hello, we are not the infant we used to be as a local church. We are a mature church. Brian Hudson, our missionary in Nicaragua, stood here a few years ago and preached on the glorious church. And he said, the glorious church should be very apparent in the world and should add value to our community. And the glorious church is a place where believers mature in the faith. So we're all in this together. And then, because we are members one of another, the Bible says we belong to each other. We belong. So we owe each other something. Do you know what we owe each other? Love. 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 Some people may come in here. Not today. All of you are lovable looking today. There have been times, though, we've had some people come in and they did not look lovable. There have been times when God has broken our hearts. We would look at one person and say, oh my goodness, oh. But then the Holy Spirit has a way of breaking our hearts and allowing us to see that unlovable looking person like God sees him or her. People coming in here with all kinds of different hair colors, piercings everywhere, tattoos all over. We don't dismiss anybody. We welcome everybody. If there's a person here struggling in any area, you need to be here. We don't want to run you off. God. What are religious people thinking? I hate it. God hates it. We never have been a church that would stand at the front door and look down on others that were not like us. There is diversity. There's a gift from God inside that vessel. And if God has sent him or her here, then we should value the gift in that earthen vessel and allow him or her to be a blessing to our church. Hello. Some churches that are religious have it in this order. Well, you got to believe to come here. You got to behave to come here before you can belong with us. It's believe, behave, and then you can belong. We don't do it that way here. Our order is this: believe, belong, and eventually we'll all learn how to behave, maybe. There is nothing religious about us here. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. No longer immature like children. I'm telling you, our local church, just a small part of the larger, universal, worldwide body of Christ. But we have come of age, thanks to many of you who've been faithful to walk together on this journey for many years now. And today we're making room for new ones the Lord has sent more recently, each one with a different gift that God thinks abundant life needs. And so he has chosen to lead all of us here for a corporate gathering and worship. No longer immature like children. That's one benefit of being connected to the local church. I mean, being really connected, belonging to a local church. We don't ask of a whole lot. In fact, I think society is just the world order. They have it backwards. So much is not right with society's structure. For instance, we spend 12 years minimum educating our children and a couple of years before you even start that. And then sometimes 4, 6, or 8 or more years after the first 12, educating our mind, maturing our intellect, preparing us to be fruitful for 50 years of active workforce, and then we die. Now, that's important. I'm not minimizing that. I'm all for education. Get all you can. Use it wisely. Not against it. But yet that same society that puts that much emphasis on developing and maturing our intellect, which will go to the grave with us, won't even give God 1 hour a week for corporate work. And that's developing and maturing the spiritual part of us, the part of us, the only part of us that will live forever. It looks to me like, and it's okay, go ahead and educate yourself for 20, 22 years. Enjoy it for life, but don't overlook the small requirement that God gives to each of us, and that is belong to the body and show value to every other member. We will no longer be immature like children, the Bible says. The Message translation says it like this: no prolonged infancies among us, please. I sort of like that. So today is a day where we mark a milestone, 32 years as a local church. And I'll have to say, I have been amazed at the goodness of God. I would have been happy with 30, 40, 50 people. Many churches are in that number. And they're great churches. Is God in that? Absolutely. How is that different than our church or other churches? Well, God has the people there that need that, that have something to offer to that group that they can't find anywhere, and God knows it. God said, there's a church of 20 people meeting in a house down there, but they're honoring me. They are connected to me, and they are connected to one another. They are committed to me, and they are committed to one another. They are in relationship with me, and they are in relationship with one another. There are not but 20 of them, but they get together in my name, and they need a gift they don't have. I'm going to send so-and-so over there and add even greater value. God works at every level. He will meet you where you are, and he has churches that he has established and ordained of every number, every size. And every one of those churches are special to God. And being a part of a church helps us all grow and mature in the faith. At this time, I'm going to call 59 adults. And some of the children are in. I heard the children making noise over there a while ago. And, you know, it's not an invasion by an army. Our children are cranking up their worship over there when we hear the beat through the wall. But we're committed to your children, too. Pastor Steve mentioned generations and nations. That's what we're all about. Generations here at home. A lot of what you see going on inside these four walls are to reach you and your children and your children's children. We are about the generations. And then also, we're so connected to others, pastors, missionaries, ministry organizations, missions organizations that are changing the world. And a lot of that goes on outside of these four walls that we're directly connected to. So the Lord is sending more gifts into Abundant Life today. And we open the doors of our church and we receive those that the Lord is pleased to send to us today. And together, we continue to grow spiritually. I will say this. We don't have membership classes. We don't require that you think like we do. I don't say a lot about politics. Because the truth is, half of you voted for Trump and half of you voted for Hillary. I didn't even get much amen out of that. I think politics are important, of course. But when you walk through the door of the sanctuary, there is a name higher than Trump. There is a name higher than Hillary. And we have come together in Jesus' name. I will also say this, you Trump people, work on your love for the Hillary crowd. And you Hillary people, work on your love for the Trump. I've got to shut up right now. Hey, everybody remain seated except those whose name I'm calling now. Hold your applause until all 59 have arrived here at the front. I'll ask the ushers to help me with this. I am calling out those that the Lord has been pleased to send to Abundant Life Church recently, and they're identifying themselves today and being introduced today as new members. Norma Benberry, John and Cynthia Bethay, Dirk Kane, Joe Daggett, Kelly Daniels, Michelle Dion, Gina Bortz, Tom Weaver, Arnice Douglas, Robert Dukes, Jolly and Bolanli Ihiabi. I hope I said that right. And we are international, by the way, around here. Willie and Unita Evans, Janelle Gauze, Alyssa Garrick, Peggy Gibson, Jimmy and Pam Gilliam, Krista Graham, Tony and Dahlia Graham, Lisi Gunthorpe, Diane Haynes, Chris and Karna Herring, Jeff and Nikki Huggins, Ruby Hunter, Emma James, Nicole James, Tracy James, J.R. and Vanessa Johnson, Valerie Johnson, Thomas and Kimberly Jones, Willie and Vivian Lewis, James Lyles, Claudine McKellen, Sarah Nichols, Matt and Elizabeth Odom, Dolores Paris, Melinda Price, Magdalena Sanchez, Rick and Sharon Schroeder, Robbie and Lindsay Street, Richard and Morgan Strickland, Jack and Jenna Witherspoon, Lizette Williams, Veronica Woods, and David Young. Would you make welcome these gifts to the church today? Wow. You know, we're going to have to build a bigger building just to get the new people up front. We've been waiting on some of you for a long time, and we celebrate today in your life what it means to you and what it means to each of us. Let me say, membership at our church is different than any other church I know of, but I think it's completely biblical and New Testament in principle. I mentioned earlier, we don't require membership classes because we don't want you to be like us in every thought. Everybody is different. We appreciate that. We do require that you're born again. Let me ask everybody here, everybody that's standing, this is the only question I will ask you, and this is the only requirement we have for membership here at Abundant Life. Are you born again? Do you have the new birth experience? Have you trusted Jesus to become Lord and Savior of your life. Yes, from all of you? Any of you? Oh, wow, we got a, okay, yes then. I will also say this, we're not like the Catholic Church. We do have some Catholics here, and we love them, and God loves Catholics. But the Catholics claim you for life. No matter if you leave and go to a Methodist, I mean, the Catholics keep you on the, we don't. We don't, because we understand there are seasons in our life. This is the season God has you here. If that ever changes, we will not hate you. We will not pray against you. We will help you always if we can. We don't believe in burning bridges, but we do respect your decision. If the Lord speaks to you in the future and leads you to another church, we will respect that, and we won't try to keep you. We will release you with blessing. I think that's just beautiful, and I think the way we understand seasons change, and God changes the times and the seasons. But for this season, right now in the present, we celebrate the fact that God has planted you here. The only other thing we ask, which is also biblical, is that you will support the church in your tithe and offering as the Lord blesses you to do so. Nothing legal about that. If you don't have anything to give, you can come sit on the front row every service. Still, not a problem. But as the Lord blesses you, give to support our church. It changes the world through many pastors, churches, and missionaries all over the world. And we begin at home with the homeless shelters here in Florence and the feeding programs and the Red Cross, who rushes to a home when it's been destroyed by fire and get the family members who's just lost their home started over again. We help them do that. And so as the Lord blesses you, we believe it's biblical. Support the church with your tithe and offering as you're blessed to do so. I want to pray over all of you, just as a group. And then we're going to ask all of you who are current and former members, you'll have the opportunity to come up and at least speak to a few. It's going to be organized chaos right up here in a minute. I mean, look at this great crowd of people, not only across the front, but around the walls. And I tell you what, for those of you in the congregation, stretch your hands toward these newcomers and agree with me as I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for a great day for the body. Thank you for each and every individual member. We recognize the fact that you have sent each of them here. They have a different gift than we have, and we've been in need of that gift. And so in your goodness, you have led each man and woman here today. And we are grateful that they believe, and we say you belong here with us. Your gift has made room for you here with us. And we come into covenant agreement with these newcomers today. We will pray one for another. We will celebrate with those who are rejoicing, and we will grieve together with those who are suffering loss. And all of us do both at different times in our life. We pledge our prayer life to include these men and women that you've sent to us. I want to say to you, new members, men and women, and the children that are in your home, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be praying for you every day. We're going to be praying specifically according to the will of God and the word of God over your life. We're going to be praying for your health. We're going to be praying for your marriages and other relationships with your children or your parents. We're going to be praying for your relationships to be healthy. We're going to be praying for your finances. We're going to ask God to bless you always with more than you need in your hand. More than you need. not just barely enough to get by, but more than enough. And while we pray that for you, we're going to be praying to the God whose name is not just barely enough. We're going to be praying to the God whose name is more than enough. That's the God we serve. We're going to be praying for direction for your life. That when you come to a crossroads, the will of God and the word of God and his purpose for that moment in your life would be realized by you. You would know which way to go. You'll be able to hear the Lord speak so clearly, even in a whisper, when he says to you, "This is my way, walk this way." We're praying for clarity of direction for the future of your journey in the faith. We're praying for every good and perfect gift to fall into your life, and that nothing good would be spared from you. And we're praying for your protection from evil. Yes, we need bodyguards spiritually. And so we're praying for angels to be dispatched to your home, to your life. We're praying for your promotion in every area. On the job, when you think you're already at the top of your department, they can create a higher place for you if necessary. The promotion of the Lord, we pray that over you. And we receive you now. It is our great joy as the local church, Abundant Life Church, to receive you as one of our own and esteem highly the value God has placed in you. We receive the gift you have, that it would function and make us even more mature as a local church. We honor you, we welcome you, we celebrate you, we receive you, we acknowledge you, we pray for you, and we say to you, welcome to Abundant Life Church this morning.